This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Thank you very much for spending part of your day with us. Start of the NFL season tonight. We have some NFL stuff for you in the Wall of Sound. Also, an interesting way to get ready for a drug test. Yeah. I know. You need to listen to this. It was quite funny. Before we get to that, you might want to watch us on TV. There are people watching us on TV. It grows every day at WRAL Sports Plus. If you are a smart TV user, you're a streamer, you get stuff off Amazon or off Apple TV, off Roku, off Fire. We have a Fire TV. We have several Fire TVs, and we have one Roku TV in the house. So if you get your TV that way, there's an app. You just go get the WRAL Sports Plus app. Boom! Watch us on TV.
There it is.
If you are local to the WRAL TV 5 viewing area, you can watch us on Spectrum Cable 1257 if you haven't unbundled. Or you could just on the antenna 34.1. It's all good. We're all here. Hi. How you doing? I just waved to the camera. All right. We have a lot of things to do. We're not going to talk about our fantasy teams. Dennis and I have already done that during the break.
Yeah.
Season starts today. And you don't want to hear about our fantasy team, and we sure don't want to hear about yours. My least favorite. I'd rather talk fantasy Premier League. My team is struggling. I've gotten, like, all kidding aside, 6 matches in, I've gotten 1 assist out of Youngmin Son. Come on. I'm hosed. Anyway, let's do the Wall of Sound.
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
We have Harry Kane up there, too?
I did not draft Harry Kane.
No, I'm talking about, but still, you figured with Harry Kane finishing, you would get some assists.
Yes. Son tied for the lead in goals with Mo Salah last year.
Yeah.
In the Premier League. He's got 1 assist. There's no chance that I can compete with. My son's got a ridiculous team now. I don't know how it happened. My team was better than his. He has just absolutely waxed me three weeks in a row. Or 3 match weeks in a row. All right, let's do the Wall of Sound, shall we? Because it's just going to get me frustrated. All right, let's start with Baker Mayfield, shall we? Panthers quarterback getting ready for week number 1.
Always leading up to the first game. It's just a long off season, and it feels like it drags on forever. So obviously this one was a little bit different for me, just kind of being in limbo for a little bit. I'm excited to get out there for first time and it to be the real thing and get this first game under our belt and see what this team's going to be all about.
In limbo for a little bit. Interestingly enough, if you look at the schedule, Baker Mayfield's first opponent is the team that drafted him. So what about facing that former group?
Well, like I mentioned last week, I think it's a great storyline. Obviously, there's history involved. Leading up to this week, there's other games in the NFL that guys are playing their former teams. It's the excitement leading up to week 1 that I think is building that anticipation up. But for me, it's the familiarity. Anytime you're playing guys you know, it makes it just more interesting, more fun. You get to smack talk a little bit with your buddies that you've been with for a little bit, and you know how to poke and prod and get the best out of them. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
What about revenge, Baker?
No, I mean, I'm grateful for the time I had in Cleveland. Like I said, I started my career there. Fans there, football town. You know, obviously, like I've mentioned multiple times, it ended abruptly and, you know, unexpectedly, but we're here now. Everything happens for a reason, and I'm rolling with the punches, and I'm happy to be a Panther.
I believe all of that. But I also believe that there's a little bit extra for Baker, not against the players, but against the coach, against the administration that clearly gave up on Baker Mayfield. The owner, right? They gave up on Baker Mayfield. They wanted Deshaun Watson so badly that they were willing to turn their head at least 25 allegations of sexual misconduct and give him a fully guaranteed $230 million contract that impacts our next topic, but we'll get to that in a second. In spite of the fact that Baker Mayfield had a really good year three and then played hurt all last year because he thought that he was yours. If Baker Mayfield had the ability to see the future and realize that he was about to get pushed out for Deshaun Watson, you know what Baker Mayfield probably would have done after getting injured in week two?
What's that?
He probably would have had some sort of surgery or simply started to rehab the injury. Mm-hmm. But he thought he was doing you a solid, because the truth is that their best bet was Baker Mayfield even compromised last year. Seriously, if you go back and you look at year three, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 63% completions, he was pretty good. He's top half of the NFL starting quarterback. If he can be that for the Panthers, maybe the Panthers don't have to go out and address franchise quarterback in next year's draft or beyond or in some other way, shape, or form. Maybe they don't have to.
Matt Corral.
Yeah, Matt Corral's a developmental quarterback. See what it's like in 2 years, right? He's not. Maybe Matt Corral will be their starting quarterback. I don't know. But Baker's going to play this year. I look forward to watching it. I do. All right, I mentioned the $230 million guaranteed contract that Deshaun Watson was handed by the Cleveland Browns. The only way he was going to Cleveland, because he had already told Cleveland, I don't want to come there. And then they went, hey, what if we give you a fully guaranteed $230 million contract? And then Deshaun Watson said, I love Cleveland.
Yeah.
I heard your lake caught on fire. The river. Or it was the river that caught on fire, right?
Sure.
Right. Heard the river caught on fire, but, man, I love Cleveland. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I can't wait to go. Adam Schefter from ESPN on Lamar Jackson, who needs a contract for next year, and other quarterback contracts.
Last year, I would have said he should have signed the deal, and I would have been wrong. He was right, because the quarterback market exploded. But how much more is it going to go up? I know we'll get new deals, I would think, for Joe Burrow, for Justin Herbert. They have the Pedro Stadium there in Cincinnati now that they're playing in. Justin Herbert's going to get a huge deal. And Deshaun Watson set the standard in terms of full guarantee. So all these guys are going to be going after these big contracts at a time where the TV money's going to be going up and up and up. And that's great. And so maybe Lamar can turn $45, $50 million a year into $55.
He could. Look. This is why I keep saying it, and I know it's a broken record. As soon, if you believe that you have your guy, as soon as that guy is eligible to be signed to the contract, you do it. Otherwise, it costs you. Dallas waiting 2 years or 1 year? I think it was 1 year to sign Dak Prescott, cost them money. Now, they were smart enough to structure the contract as such where the cap hit's not crazy. The cap hit's under 30. I think the this year's cap hit is not bad. Next year's cap hit for Dak Prescott is bananas. It's like 40-some-odd million. You just can't have that. You can't have that on your books. You're just not going to be able to field a competitive team unless the salary cap goes to where it probably should in the NFL, which is about $350 million. But that's not where it's headed.
Not anytime soon, at least.
No, it's going to cost the Ravens. It's going to be the cap charge next year is going to be $45 million.
Yeah.
Right. You and I have talked about this.
Yeah,
real quick.
If he's on the franchise tag, yes.
Yeah, well, that's what he's going to be on unless the Ravens decide to pay him. And in order for Lamar Jackson to accept the contract, you're going to have to guarantee him at least $230 million. I don't believe the Ravens want to do that.
Yeah.
If I were the Ravens, here's what I would do. And I am not on their side here, but my advice would be franchise tag him, but don't do it exclusively. Mm-hmm. Sign him to the non-exclusive franchise tag, because if I'm not mistaken, the number that he's guaranteed by you is significantly lower than the $45 million.
Yeah.
Right? It's in the 30s is what the is the number. And you're probably going to match any contract he gets.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. So I wouldn't give him the exclusive franchise tag. I would give him the non-exclusive franchise tag. In which case, you're going to see. Is he going to meet your price? Is he going to, are you going to, is some team going to make it like really, really difficult for you to say, I just can't do it? All right, let's go to Joe Buck real quick here before we get to the drug test soundbite, which is just fantastic. Here's Joe Buck on Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge, hands down. Now, Ohtani won last year, and you're right. He did last year and is doing it again, something we've never seen. You know, John Smoltz, who I work with and deeply respect, said if he just concentrated on pitching, he'd be Jacob DeGrom. And then you add in the power and the way he can run and everything. He's unbelievable. Great guy. But Judge, on a first-place team, as they're hanging on in the AL East by 5 games now, without him, they're not where they are, clearly, and he's 6 away from tying the Yankees franchise record for home runs. To me, it's Aaron Judge, and it's him winning his first in the American League.
It should be unanimous. As good as Shohei Ohtani is.
Yeah.
This was about who should win the MVP. As good as Shohei Ohtani is. If your team isn't good and the Angels are 17 games below 500 and completely buried, if your team isn't good, you can't be the MVP. Now, that doesn't mean he's bad. I'm not saying that Shohei Ohtani's numbers and, you know, impact are devalued, but they're just not MVP worthy. Listen to these Aaron Judge numbers. And remember that there are almost 30 games left in the season for the Yankees.
Yeah.
There's 4 weeks left of baseball.
A lot of still to be played.
Aaron Judge, he's slugging .683. He's got 55 home runs. He's got 110 runs scored, 118 driven in. He's got 16 stolen bases. He's also...
Really?
Yes. Oh. He's also the Yankees' best center fielder. He plays a lot in center field. His OPS is 1,090. Yes, he has struck out 150 times. So what? It is insane the year he is having. He is the MVP. All right. So Jessica Pegula, one of the rising young U.S. tennis stars, she is the daughter of the owner of the Bills and Sabres, the Pegula family. They own those two franchises in Buffalo. Jessica's a great tennis player, lost in the, I think it was a quarterfinal match the other day at the U.S. Open. And after the match, she's in a press conference, and she happens to be holding a beer, a can of beer.
Heineken.
It was a can of beer at the press conference. I haven't had a Heineken in a long, long, long time. Heineken's very good. But she's holding a can of beer in the press conference. Here's what she said.
Hi, Jessica. Sorry about the loss. It's obviously Darcy May from ESPN.com. I like the Heineken.
I've been trying to pee for doping, so. Although it does help ease the loss.
All right. So if you didn't hear that, reporter says, I kind of like the Heineken. And Jessica said, I'm trying to pee for doping.
Yep.
She has a doping test, and she's a little dehydrated. Needed to, there you go. So, drinking a beer, she did acknowledge, it sort of helps after the loss. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can, they want to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda. A treat for everybody. The one and only Florida State legend. Now with Cover 3 Podcast, SiriusXM. He has too many jobs. I wish I had as many jobs as Danny Cannell did. Danny joins us thanks to our friends at Bet Online. They've got updated college odds, college playoff odds, Heisman, conference odds. All right, Danny, Clemson's odds went up or no based on what they did against Georgia Tech?
So, I still like Clemson. It's a tricky one. I knew it. By the way, I'm a little upset with you because you introduced me as Florida State, you know, former Florida State football player.
Legend.
But you didn't say Florida State, who is currently 2-0 Florida State. Let's go.
Right, do you want to start with Florida State then? You want to start with Florida State anyway? That's fine.
No.
It doesn't matter.
No, I don't. Because their win total is still 7.5, and I still think they might go over. I'm not really confident in that one either. All right. For your Clemson Tigers, so I'm a little perplexed because we all saw the game that happened against Georgia Tech. We all heard what Dabo said all offseason, including at ACC Media Days, when he raved about DJ Uiagalelei. And I don't know about you, Adam, but I watched for a first half what looked very similar to what we saw last year.
Yep.
An offense that was uninspiring, that sputtered, that was out of sorts, and a quarterback that looked, I don't want to say like, he just doesn't look confident at times. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you see flashes. And I hope Dabo isn't too loyal to a fault, which I do think is a great quality to have. But look at his philosophy on transfer portal. You know, he doesn't like, I don't want guys coming in here quick. Like, I get it. And he wants to be loyal to the veterans on the team. I understand that. Here's what I do believe. I think the defense is not only playoff worthy. I think they're national championship worthy. I think they're that good. And it might have been last year, too, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Either DJ is going to figure it out, and you would hope it would come against Furman this week, or you're going to see Cade Klubnik. Like, yeah. I have to trust that Dabo knows what he's doing, that he's watching the staff, that he's watching every practice, that he knows what he's got on his roster. I think it's a really delicate situation because if you did bench DJ in that first game, it's probably a lost cause. Like, then you shatter his confidence. So you can't have a quick leash with him, like a quick hook. You got to let him play his way through it. I think that's what Dabo is hoping, is that he does play his way out of this slump. But if he doesn't and it continues to struggle, I think they'll have no problem going to Cade. So I'm just kind of trusting DJ with it. So for that reason, find me a game that you feel like, oh, Clemson's going to lose. I don't see many. I wouldn't even see one, especially based on what we saw at NC State in week one. Now, they still could do it. But I still think Clemson's very much in the playoff conversation.
Danny Cannell. Cover 3 Podcast. He does that with our friend Chip Patterson. We talked about you yesterday. Based on the fact that you guys meaning Florida State, did get a second win, 2-0. Yes. And here's my takeaway from the game against LSU. Could have lost. Maybe should have lost. But didn't, which means that there's a level of competence that hasn't been there with Florida State. Does that mean a corner has been turned, even if the roster isn't quite what it needs to be for Florida State to be Florida State?
I am so glad, Adam, you didn't ask me, are they back? Because
they're not.
No, they're not. And even Mike Norvell, he was asked the question. He said, no. He said, we're going to get back to work. That's what we need to do. But I do think that was a significant like mental hurdle that Florida State had to get over. It's been a rough 2 years for Mike Norvell. Takes over during COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, last year starts off disaster. You know, it's a close game versus Notre Dame. They lose. Then they lose to Jacksonville State, an FCS opponent. And it was awful. Like, they blew leads. They just did not look like a very mature team. They found ways to lose. And for them not to blow that game, which I do think you're correct, they could have lost that game. The other thing is they could have won by three touchdowns. Like, if they handled their business and didn't, you know, fumble an exchange on the goal line, it could have been much different. Like, it could have been a different outcome. But just the fact they were able to dodge disaster, I think, was a huge sigh of relief. And now the team, they feel different about themselves. They feel like, yeah, we can beat anybody. And I know LSU isn't a great roster, but I do think this team, so 7.5 was win total. And I said going into the season, I said the LSU game carries so much importance. I said if they beat LSU, I think they can win 9. If they don't, I thought it was in doubt whether they'd get the 7.5 at all. So now I look at this team differently. I think they feel differently about themselves. And I think they go into game with so much more confidence, even in the ACC schedule, like opponents that preseason you would have chalked up and said, Wake Forest has been better than Florida State recently. Now all of a sudden, like, and you would have said, that's a loss. Now all of a sudden with Florida State, Wake, you're like, wait a second, Florida State might have a chance to win that game. You know, and I would say it's almost, I don't even know if it's NC State yet, but NC State, Miami, like, I'd say any, and like, I think any game on the schedule now you look up as a toss-up, not as an automatic loss, which is all, except for Clemson. And every other opponent, I think you look at and you're like, we could win that game, which you wouldn't have said before LSU. So, like, that's the mental advantage that I think you gained. Now, they better not lose to Louisville and you bring up this sound later and be like, hey,
No. I'm with you. And Louisville was disappointing against Syracuse, or maybe Syracuse is better than we all thought. But I want to get back to what you were saying about Florida State. If somebody had just flipped on the radio, or since people get a chance to watch this on television too, I apologize for my appearance today. If people tuned in right after we mentioned that it was Florida State, you could have easily been describing NC State, because that could have been a 2-touchdown win for the Wolfpack, and we're thinking it completely different, and we chalk up all the squirrely stuff that we saw too. It's just week one, but that's a game that they probably should have lost. So if Dave Doran said after the game that, hey, we won it, I'm not going to apologize for, and he goes, there are no ugly wins, so I'm not going to apologize for it. We've been on the other side of it. Can they learn from that and be better? And what was your biggest takeaway from that game?
So I think I'm a firm believer a win is a win is a win. Like, it doesn't matter what it looks like. And no one probably is going to remember this game in mid-November if NC State's in the hunt, you know, or even if they're not. Like, I just think you remember this as a win. I thought, and this was one of my cover three locks that I do with Chip Patterson, was to take East Carolina. The ACC drives me insane because I try to defend the conference as much as I can. One of their biggest problems is they schedule games like this. This is the ultimate trap game. NC State's been hyped up all year, and all East Carolina does is an in-state, you know, not a rival, but an in-state, you know, football team that looks at you and sees all the attention you get and sees it as an opportunity to potentially knock off this team that they hear all about. That is such a tough environment to get into. I thought the defense looked good. I was very surprised at Devin Leary. I think he's the best quarterback in the ACC. It was a little bit sluggish. The offensive line wasn't able to get a lot of movement up front. That was probably the bigger surprise for me. But like you said, I think the fact that they won that game, like Dave Doran said, is all that matters. And you don't have to apologize for a win because you got the win. But can I send a message to Jim Phillips and anybody else in the ACC office or any athletic director that's considering set scheduling group of five teams on the road for week one? Please stop. You're killing me. You're absolutely killing me.
Here's the thing, though. I loved that we had, because I was actually going to transition to North Carolina here anyway. I love that we had
another one.
NC State at ECU, which is a rivalry game, even though it's not NC State's big rival, obviously. East Carolina looks at the two big boys in the state, and they're like dogs looking at steak. And App State hosting North Carolina. It was an awesome Saturday for North Carolina football, for the state of North Carolina and college football. It was a tremendous Saturday. Both games were stupid, especially at the end of North Carolina. So let me ask you, you said Devin Leary's the best quarterback in the ACC. I agree with you. It is possible, though, that in 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever, we might be saying that about Drake May. I don't know how Georgia State keeps them under 50 points this weekend.
I got a man crush on Drake May. I think he's an upgrade over Sam Howell.
Ooh.
I was blown away. I do. I think physically, I think he'll be a higher draft pick than Sam Howell. I've had some takes on him that I like. It's only two games. I keep reminding myself, but I look at the talent. I look at the size. I look at his composure in a game like that. In a shootout where your defense is a sieve and they can't stop anybody, and you get into one of these, you know, wacky games where every possession matters, and every possession there's a ton of pressure on you to score, to answer. And he kept doing that, and he's pretty athletic. Through two games, he's got 9 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. But even more than the stat line, when I watched him get through his progressions, it looks like a quarterback who is very mature beyond his years. And then his presence of mind, when to scramble, when to get outside the pocket, when to hang in there, and doing it without his best wide receiver, man, I am blown away by Drake May. And everybody likes Tyler Van Dyke, Devin Leary. I mean, and now the schedule, you know, it'll get harder. And with that defense, it might not play out in the win column because I'm very concerned about Gene Chizik and company, like, getting things corrected.
Yeah.
I think they'll beat Georgia State. They better. Another great road game.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Fantastic. Back-to-back road games against Group of Five opponents. Way to go. But then they have a home game against Notre Dame, where that'll be an opportunity for him against a top 10 team for him to really showcase his talent. But early on in the Drake May game, I am a huge fan.
Yeah, Virginia Tech also played on the road against Old Dominion. We know how that turned out. All right, finally, for Danny Cannell, Florida State legend. And I actually I didn't even mention real quick thought on Dabo Sweeney's 8-figure contract. So $115 million over 10 years. I read the story. The story said $10.5 million a year. My math says $11.5 million. That's a lot of coin, man.
What I mean, there are certain things I regret. Like, I guess I regret not being a college football coach.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you and I, we're pretty good at what we do.
Yeah.
I think we crush it, you know? You know what my bosses don't do? They don't come to me way before my contract is up and say, we're just going to give you a bump for no reason whatsoever. Unless there's something. Now, Nick Saban had a clause in his contract. That's my hunch, Adam, and I haven't done the research on this. Right. I did see the news. I bet Dabo's got a clause in there that says, hey, he's got to be a top 3 highest paid coach in college football. And that's what it's for. And that was something because routinely I see agents of college football coaches absolutely work over athletic directors and presidents and whoever's negotiating on behalf of the universities. They get in the worst contractual obligations that you possibly could do if we cared about business. But I don't think anybody does. It's about crazy, passionate college football fans, and I can't be the guy that loses Dabo Sweeney. So let me go ahead and give you a clause in there that says you'll be the highest paid no matter what happens on the field. And so that's where you have it. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's got to be a contractual clause, and it's just the latest example of how much money is flowing to these coaches and eventually is going to flow to the players. That's coming extremely soon. I'd say within 5 years we have revenue sharing with the players, which I pushed back for a long time, but you know what? The money wasn't this great.
Right.
Now that it's this exorbitant, I'm all in. I'm like, yep, you're right. There is too much money to go around, especially when you're giving coaches like Dabo a raise who was already making $92 million. Now you got to make it 110, 111. Like, there's no reason to do that. So now let's at least give it to the players.
I mean, he signed a 10-year extension in 2019. I don't even understand. Yeah. A 10-year contract. We're 3 years into a 10-year contract. We're already extending. I'm on board. And the money is bananas, and I get it. The players should get it. I think all the players who participate in the playoff, when it expands and all that money comes in, every player who participates in that should get some part of that revenue. Final thing for Danny Cannell. I've already gone too long, kept you way longer than I expected, but you're always so much fun. If Pittsburgh beats Tennessee at home, and do you like the Panthers getting 6.5 at whatever the name of the stadium is in Pittsburgh now? I don't remember. It used to be named for ketchup. If that happens, will you be the loudest ACC cheerleader that we have ever heard?
If that happens at Acrisure Stadium, that is the name now, which is the worst name because it's not memorable at all.
That's, I don't know, I mean, what it is.
The worst. I think it's, I don't even want to venture a guess. I don't know. It sounds like a medicine. Like,
yeah, no, it does. It sounds like you like put needles in your arm and it solves
that,
skin.
Or it sounds like it sounds like an athlete's foot like treatment, like Acrisure. That's what it sounds like to me. But if I actually do like Pitt and the touchdown, I like Pitt at home in this game. They played them last year in Knoxville and beat them. And Hendon Hooker did come into this game with a lead, and Pitt still beat them. I like Pitt's chances here with the number. And if they do knock off the vaunted SEC opponent, if you're an SEC fan, just mute me now on Twitter. Just mute me, because you are not going to want to hear the heat that's coming your way if that happens. So we'll see.
At Danny Cannell, thanks to our friends at Bet Online. You are the best, man. I appreciate your time. I can't wait to talk to you already. I'm already marking the calendar. Be well. Talk to you soon.
Adam, you're the best, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Tired of reporting fire drills? ValueOps, the value stream management solution from Broadcom, is built to manage what you value most. ValueOps means more visibility, not more meetings. Instant access to data and actionable insights to make reporting easier. It's one platform for everyone, with specific features to support your job. ROI is tracked at every step, so there's more value for you and your customers. To schedule a free demo, go to broadcom.com/value.
In a somber note, we lost Queen Elizabeth today, age 96. She ascended to the throne in 1952. She was the Queen of England for 70 years.
It's crazy.
70 years. She was 96 when she passed away. She was the Queen at age 26. Amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought that it would go to William, but they did not pass over Charles. Charles is now the king. Don't know how long he's going to be king. Mm-hmm. Might be, maybe until he passes. I'm not rooting for that, but Charles is the he was Prince of Wales, is now king. There's all sorts of titles that are going to change, but William and why am I drawing a blank on
Charles?
His Catherine. They are the Duke and Duchess of Cornwall. Hmm. That's what they are.
All right.
So with that said, let's learn about Charlotte. Our final NFL city, our tour, concludes.
All right.
This is the 32nd NFL city we have done, even though two of them were done twice.
That's correct.
East Rutherford and Inglewood, California. We are in Charlotte proper, though.
A lot of donuts.
Yeah.
A lot of donuts over the last 32 days.
No question.
Actually, I have a full list. I should actually screen grab it and tweet it
out.
Yeah,
all the donuts.
That's what I should do.
We can rank them and you can put Dunkin' Donuts on top.
No. No.
You could do that.
That's the ground chuck.
The thing you can do.
Donuts. No. Actually, my Stan's Donut shirt just came in.
Did it?
Yes.
Excellent.
I'm going to wear it tomorrow.
Excellent.
All right, things you have to do in Charlotte. You got to go to ACC Media Days. It's like a mandatory thing you got to do.
Did you really do that?
No, you
did
can't.
Did you really?
I had to. All right, well, I say that because I wanted
to
bring up
people.
This story.
I like the people at ACC Media Days.
Absolutely.
More than the assignment.
I actually do enjoy going there. So last year there was a guy that slipped into Media Days.
Right.
A Boston College alum and just showed up and was there during the Boston College media session. Just ask a question, because people would say, like, hey, I'm with, you know, this publication or this website, whatever it may be, this media outlet. And he goes, yeah, I'm so-and-so. I'm just an alum. I'm not supposed to be here. But but asked a question, and the player just was okay, just answers it. I actually met him this year. So anyway, anyone apparently can get into ACC Media Days. So that's why I encourage, if you want to go talk to some people, show up.
Excellent.
There you go. Got to go to the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
I've never been.
It's really good. Is an awesome place to go check out. NASCAR Hall of Fame. Also, the Hendrick Motorsports Complex is located in Charlotte as well. Some things definitely to do uptown. If you ever get a chance, go to the Queen City Comedy Festival each fall.
All right.
I would definitely check that out. The Mint Museum.
I love mints.
Well, they're not actually mints. It's just called the Mint Museum.
Oh, okay.
You know, Mint Street and all that.
All right, so is it for, like, peppermint, spearmint?
No.
What?
It's just called the Mint Museum. It's just a museum. Different curated stuff, different exhibits come through.
Oh, okay.
But it's called the Mint Museum.
But I like mints, though.
I'm sure you do.
Depending.
Maybe a spearmint for you.
I like a junior mint.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, junior mint. That's a Hall of Fame mint right there.
Okay. First ballot?
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Also,
that
I mean,
and the... what is the lifesaver, the spearmint lifesaver?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's really good.
Good job. If you want a thrill.
Double mint gum also. Hall of Fame.
Awesome. Go to Carowinds if you want a nice thrill ride.
Jeez.
Gotta go to Carowinds. But if you want a natural thrill ride.
Is Carowinds in Charlotte or is it outside Charlotte?
It has a Charlotte address.
Okay. What about the National Whitewater Center?
Also has a Charlotte address. I'll say if you want a natural thrill ride, go to the Whitewater Center. It does have a Charlotte address.
Sort of man-made, but
you know what I mean.
But it is awesome.
I actually have not gone yet.
Yeah. Really cool.
I have not gone. Alexander Michaels, Capitol Grill, Midwood Smokehouse.
Yeah.
All places to go eat.
Very good.
Do you have some recommendations? Oh, by the way, as well, take the train into Charlotte. That's the first thing you need to do.
First of all, from here, from Raleigh.
Anyway.
Or if you're, like, if you're listening in Greensboro or if you're in
Durham.
Actually,
wherever.
I think you can do this in Wilmington, too. Hmm? You can take the train, and in fact, for Panthers games this year,
yeah,
I believe there is a special Panthers train. I'm not sure if it runs from Wilmington or not, but it runs from Raleigh.
Yeah.
Where it gets you to Charlotte at like 9:30. And then the last train back, this is, of course, for 1 o'clock games. The last train back, I believe, is 7 o'clock.
Okay, nice.
I think it's 7 o'clock. So there's plenty of time after the game to go get a bite to eat, soak up whatever you drank, all of that. So, yeah. That's
a great deal.
Way better than driving.
It's a great deal. No. Oh, also, make sure you check out Heroes Con.
Of course.
In Charlotte Convention Center.
It's a matter of time before we got to that.
Wonderful. Yeah, I could have said some other places, but I didn't. But yeah, you have any recommendations on places to go in Charlotte?
I'm kind of dumb in that I go to the Thirsty Beaver if you like a dive bar.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Thirsty Beaver's a great dive bar. I don't have specific recommendations because I don't really... I've just had a good time. I like the vibe of the city of Charlotte.
Yeah, uptown is
I just
really nice.
Like the vibe of the city of Charlotte. So it is way different than it was 20 years ago. Incredibly different. And I remember the first time I went, the ACC tournament was at the old Charlotte Coliseum. And Charlotte just felt like dirty to me.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't. It's awesome. It's a great place. Absolutely great city. Love it. And so, I mean, I just recommend it.
You know, it's a cool arena.
In my opinion, it should be the home of the ACC in terms of the offices.
Oh, yeah. By the way, when are we going to find out anytime soon
whatever.
About that?
I told Jim Phillips this. Why do you need an office?
Yeah.
Get yourself an RV. Drive around a league. Wherever you wake up in the morning, that's home office.
I would say as well, outdoors, actually, Freedom Park is a nice spot to go inside the city. One thing I will recommend as well, if you can, check out a game or an event of some kind at Bojangles Coliseum. It's a pretty nice arena right there. Seats about 6,000-7,000, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the Charlotte Checkers play, and they have wrestling events and things that are held there. It's definitely a cool spot to go to, for sure. So I definitely recommend stuff at Bojangles Coliseum. I agree with you. The vibe in Charlotte, pretty cool.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what we should have done for all cities? We should have recommended breweries. There are good breweries in all, like Raleigh has tons of good breweries. And we have good breweries in Asheville, obviously, right?
Yeah.
You know, New Belgium is half based here, half based in Breckenridge, Colorado. Mm. You've got Highland, which is personal favorite. Shouts to Highland. Gizmo in Raleigh is great.
I haven't been to Gizmo.
I've never been there. I just buy their beer all the time. Okay. Gizmo is amazing. Sycamore in Charlotte. I'm a big fan. Big fan of Sycamore.
Okay.
So if you're listening, I mean, we'll take sponsorships.
Yeah, I'm always for it.
That's what we should do. We should have done a beer. Maybe that's what we'll do during the football season.
Yeah.
Charlotte beer versus Cleveland beer. We're doing that tomorrow.
That's how we're going to pick.
We just set it up for tomorrow. Charlotte beer versus Cleveland beer.
No, we could do donuts versus donuts. Like, for example, could we do...
What's better, beer or donuts?
Yes.
Hey, I'm going to block you. I'm going to block you on Twitter for that.
I don't know. Jack Frost Donuts has been around since 1937 in Cleveland. That's why you got to take it up against Reigning Donuts. R-E-I-G. Not R-A-I. So Reigning Donuts. It's actually a walk-up window located like in another restaurant. Yeah, so you can actually get it made to order, but it's just a window where you can walk up, order, go.
Excellent.
Yes. Reigning Donuts. And actually, I was looking at their menu because I was like, ooh, might check this out while I'm there. They have different seasonal flavors that you can check out. They actually have donuts for the dogs, too, by the way.
Dog donuts are great. My dog doesn't need a dog donut. Bo-berry biscuits. He loves them.
There you go. More of a cake-style donut.
Again, better.
Whatever. But good donuts are good donuts. They actually have some daily flavors. For example, Tuesdays, apple pie flavor. Wednesday, they have a cream cheese and berry. Thursday, s'more flavor. Friday, maple bacon. Saturday, lemon poppy. Sunday, peanut butter banana.
Mmm.
Yeah. And also, you can even add, you can do donut modifications as well. You can add some sprinkles.
Create your own donut.
Yeah, you can add some modifications to it, too.
I like that.
Which I think is awesome. And it's all made right there.
I like create your own donut.
Yep.
It's quite a... That really is quite a list of donuts.
It's a donut show. Amazing list of donuts here.
Excellent. All right. Well, congratulations to the donuts.
Definitely do beer. Like Charlotte beer versus
Cleveland beer. That's our beer
Cleveland
tomorrow.
Beer, yeah.
We're going to be doing that. Does Cleveland have beer? I don't know. I'm sure they do. I'm sure there is a Cleveland beer.
What else are you going to do when you're stuck inside?
I'll tell you what that Cleveland beer does. Loses. Sorry.
This is the Adam Gold Show.